Good morning, everyone. Trust you slid in. Still a nice day. Yeah, it's cold. It's January. What do you expect, huh? We got another day to be here today. That's what it's all about. 448, please, and let's stand. 448. It's one of my favorites. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How wonderful then my song shall ever be. Is my Savior's love for me it was in the garden. He prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransom the glory, face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages, sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful day, Lord, to get here to this house, your house, Lord, to worship you. Lord, I'm sorry what that song does to me. That song speaks to me like no other. May our Lord, please give me just a little strength to get a prayer out for you today. Oh, what a great God you are. Lord, thanks for my church. Thanks for the people here today. Thanks, Lord, for safety, provision, every single thing you do for us, Lord. Even the things we don't give you credit for. Lord, I just pray today that your name's going to be glorified no matter what we do. I'm sorry, Lord, that I'm so weak in my heart that I can't do this without tears in my eye. But Lord, it's because of you. We're all just a bunch of awful, stinking sinners, Lord. But you loved us enough to make a way for us. Lord, thanks for my pastor and his wife, his family, Lord. All the folks mentioned here today. I just pray, Lord, that we just bring honor and glory to your name. Be with pastors. He's about to speak, Lord. Make him stronger than me, Lord, that he'd be able to preach your word today. Lord, your book is
It's a book of love from cover to cover, Lord. Yeah, sometimes you got to do some bad things, Lord, but it's all about your love for us. May we see that today, Lord. Be with us as we have a bit of fellowship later today, Lord. Just help us to remember to love each other while we're doing it, Lord. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sorry, folks. No problem. That thing does. That song really speaks to me when I sing that thing. 217. If I haven't told you to sit down, please sit down. 217.
Canceled. It'll be rescheduled sometime. We'll make sure you're aware of that. Personal evangelism on the 7th at 6 o'clock in the evening. Iron sharpens iron on the 4th of February already at 9 in the morning. Women's Bible study February 7th at 6. Fellowship this morning. Don't forget, if you want something to eat, stick around. Kitchen team is Sharon, Kay, Brenda, Zelva, and Patsy. Ballots go out this morning. Need to be returned, excuse me, by the 12th of February. Committee meeting will be the 14th at 6 in the evening. Deacons meeting also on the 16th. Wow. At 6. Pastor's thought of the week. Winter's coming to an end, believe it or not. What excuses will you have in the spring? Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for the day, beautiful day, Lord, the opportunity to be here in your house, for all that came out here today in spite of the weather. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe, the goodness, Lord, that you bestow upon us. We can't thank you enough. pastor's going to speak here pretty soon, Lord. Guide and direct him. Be with him. Be it the guys that take up the offering, Lord. Be it the gift and the givers we do so. Thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to sing for us now, I think. Yep. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm no maestro, but I love piano music. So I do practice when I can and I try, but this is for Jesus. And I'm nervous because you're quite an audience. But I just ask that you might pray for me while I play, that it pleases the Lord. And more than that, I'd love you to focus on the words and pictures that'll be on the screen that go along with this song. It's an old hymn called Lead Me to Calvary. Jason's going to help me out in progressing the slides. Hopefully they go well. But I just pray this will be a great offering to the Lord today.
Praise God.
You tell me when you're ready, and then I'll start.
Thank you. think it's on now. Yeah, you know, thinking about that a lot through the weeks and days, Jesus has been there and done that. There's nothing that's going on in our lives today that he hasn't been through. He bore all that on Calvary's cross for us. He knows we're not alone. And you know what? He says he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's a wonderful God, and he loves us dearly. I greet you in his name today, by the way. It's a good name. It's a wonderful name. Jesus' name may be questioned, but it will never be proven wrong. It is a good name, and I'm thankful for that today. Anyway, it's good to have several out today. We realize the weather may be a problem for some. I just want to welcome everyone, whether you're visiting or a regular or semi-regular. We're glad you're here today. We're glad for this time of fellowship around the Word this morning and with one another. We want to be sure to invite you over to have lunch with us today. Even if you hadn't planned to or if you didn't bring anything, don't worry about it. There will be plenty there. And I maintain a little extra stash in my cupboard when I'm down here during the week, so we can always have ravioli or Chef Boyardee. No, but I haven't seen the table, but I'm sure there will be a sufficient quantity for everyone to be nourished today in the physical food. Also, just be careful out here with the ice. And I want to say this with all sincerity as we depart today or as we depart from the time of food. If someone needs an arm or a hand held, I'm glad to, and I know there's other folks here that will as well. Don't go out and get into trouble on the ice. Also, one other thing I wanted to announce to make you aware of is that on the 15th of February, Lord willing, which is a Wednesday, we will have a family fun night. We're going to do that periodically through the year, not real often, because it wouldn't be good if we had too much fun, right? But it's a night for families. It's going to be some light food, some games, some spiritual challenge, and just generally a good time to come and relax. And we will not have prayer meeting per se that night, but realize this, we can have prayer meeting anytime with the Lord, can't we? Yeah, he's always there, and we always have that capability to do that by his grace. Anyway, those are some things to look forward to. You can ask questions if you have those about that, but that is where we're at with that. And so I'm hoping, I've mentioned, I'd like to play a little indoor soccer with some of the kids. We do that at our house with our grandchildren, and we won't be quite as rough as we are out there. And I won't let you win like I do the grandkids. So anyway, we still do have one, Doug. Yeah, no. Well, it hasn't as of yet. Also today, I just want to say this. Some of you wondered what happened. I could tell you that I just got some grease on my head that I didn't get washed off this morning. But I got into trouble this week, and God had to hit me in the head to get me straightened out. But I didn't listen to my wife. And Kim and I had been at the Wilton Bible study Thursday night, and she said, John, you ought to put some salt right here by the steps. I said, well, it'll ruin the cement. We were going to replace it anyway next year. I said, I'll get it in the morning. So at 7:30, we walked out the door, and my feet went out from under me. Kim was in front of me. I went down and I hit the welcome to our home sign with my head. So anyway, it woke me up a little bit, but that's what happened. Message title today is Tree Horticulture 101 and You and Me. And I know you're thinking, John, you crazy man, what are you going to be telling us today? Well, we're going to talk about trees and horticulture and stumps because it's in the Bible and it's very important to us today. By the way, folks, if anyone has a high mind here today and thinks that we're something special, well, you're right. To God we are. But let me tell you, we're only special because of his grace. And we're going to see that today in the scripture as we talk about the wild olive tree, the grafted in branch, which is the church to the stump of Israel. Anyway, let's pray together before we get going. I welcome you once again. And we'll enjoy our time around the fellowship of the Word. Father, well, I'll tell you what, as this is worship, let's take 15, 20 seconds here and turn our hearts toward the Lord this morning. Ask him to cleanse us, prepare us today for his Word. And if you could, pray for the speaker. It's never easy to stand up before people and to put yourself, as Paul said, in the position of being a fool. But at least in some eyes, you know, the world and so forth. Paul says, the foolishness of preaching. But let's pray. Remember this today. I have a couple people written down here. Gene Allison, for one, who is probably nearing his last days. And anyway, also a little girl named Taylor Hall, which some of you know, who is Chuck and Irene Brocade's granddaughter. We pray for the victories this week, but yet for the challenges that lie ahead. So that and many of our own number. I talked with Woody yesterday. He has been ill, and he is doing better, but, you know, there's several of our number that we need to remember in prayer. So let's go to prayer, and then I'll lead with a pastoral prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come humbly before your throne this day, thanking you for another day of your grace and mercy. We want to be sure today, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to tell you how much we love you today. If we do, Lord, let us reveal our hearts before your throne today, Lord, for cleansing and for correcting and for drawing close to you, I pray, Heavenly Father. I thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God as the Son, the God-man. Lord, the song that we saw today and the graphics that went along with it help us to understand that you, Lord Jesus, have been there and done that. You've dealt with all this stuff. You've contended with the things that we do, with the highs, the lows, the challenges, and the joys. And that the central focus of all time is on your work of the cross of Calvary and your resurrection from the tomb victoriously over sin, death, and your adversary, Satan. I pray today, Lord, that you'd bind Satan's hands, but that you'd give the Spirit free reign, Lord, in our hearts today to, again, draw closer to you for convicting power. Lord, if there be one in our number here today who has never, again, come to the idea and conclusion, Lord, that they are indeed a sinner and not worthy of heaven, but you, Lord Jesus, took their penalty and my penalty in our place and died for our sins and paid the price in your body and shed your precious sinless blood to cover our sins, that when the Father looks at us, he sees your blood. We give you thanks and praise for that today, Lord. That's why we meet here today. We are not a dead body, but we, at least by choice, but Lord, we are here to show that you are alive on the first day of the week, just like when you rose that first day of the week from the tomb. Now, Lord, as we struggle through this thing called life in this cursed world, we do pray now, Lord, for people. Number one, for their souls, but also, Lord, for people that are dealing with ailments or hindrances that have caused them, Lord, to suffer. And I pray today, Lord, that the suffering would come to an end in these lives. I've mentioned a few this morning already, Lord, but we know in our number there are others who are not well. There are people who are elderly and infirm and that suffer from all the maladies of a sin-cursed world. I pray today, Lord, you as the great physician will come near and heal our wound and heal our troubles. Father, now I pray you'll give me help today as we look into the stump and tree horticulture. And Lord, we know that you died on a tree for our sins, but we also are a part and a connection to a tree, an olive tree that was called Israel. And we're not the ones that are the chief people here, Lord. It was Israel that you connected with by faith in with Abraham and by all time with people through faith. But Lord, you've seen fit now for nearly 2,000 years to have a time of your grace called the church age, where the Gentiles, the non-Jew, have been freely able to come to you, Lord. I thank you for that. That's a wonderful thing. Help us, Lord, to be excited about what you've done for us. Now, Lord, I need your help as always. You know me, Lord. So do people. And I need help. And I pray that you'll help me through the power of the Spirit today to somehow get this message brought forth today, Lord, for your honor and glory. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, many years ago, and by the way, do you want the condensed version of this morning or the long version? We got started a little late this morning. The condensed version, you say? Well, I'll just read it. Don't interrupt me, and we'll get through this quick. My introduction, because, I can do the condensed version. Long time ago, at our house where I grew up, 1313 North Isaac Avenue. I think that was the address when they gave. By the way, did you hear the numbers there? I don't think that's right, though, come to think of it. My niece lives down there now. We had an apple tree in our front yard. Probably none of you were ever down there. If Woody was here this morning, he would have been down there. Maybe Denny was one time. But anyway, we had an apple tree in our front yard. It was the most fantastic apple tree you would have ever found. That tree, and if you know apple trees, they don't bear every year. At least parts of them don't, right? We have any horticulturists here this morning? That tree bore every year, and it was the best apples. And I think back to my mom, Charlotte Brown, and realize I come from a conservative, tightwad family. And my dad would go, every day the apples would fall off of that tree, and of course we picked them too and used them. He'd go out, pick up every good apple off that tree, set those buckets of apples on the porch for my mom to make applesauce. Or yeah, you get the scenario here. And of course my mom, faithful, you know, she was always joyful. Never had any complaints. She liked to get the apples. But anyway, the tree grew so abundantly and produced so much fruit. Every year we'd have to prop up about four main branches on the bottom of it because it was just so heavy with fruit and wonderful tree. But you know, as it aged, and by the way, I left down there in 1978 when I got yoked up with Kim and officially, you know. And anyway, as I had departed and so forth, more and more branches broke off the tree. And eventually the folks were beginning to get concerned because they really liked that tree. And no one knew exactly when it was put there, but the thinking at that time was in the early 40s, like just ahead of World War II or in the early days. The tree was planted by my great uncle Johnny Brown. So my name comes from a long line, which I broke that lineage in our family. But anyway, no one knew where it came from, the origins of it. So the folks said, you know what, we like that tree so much, we're going to send and have this investigated up at Iowa State University at that time. We want them to see what they can do to produce a tree that can be assimilated with that tree or to identify what it is, because we would like new trees to go on in place of that because we know that its days are numbered. Well, they did exactly that, and Iowa State did quite a bit of research. I often wondered what that cost them in those days. I think it was a lot. But anyway, they did send out some sprouts, and they were grafted into that original tree. Do all of you know what a graft is? Okay, you may have been around someone that had a skin graft, but what it is it's placing healthy tissue in a place where there's unhealthy tissue with the hope that that tissue can be assimilated into the body and a new portion of tissue grown. And there are technical terms for that, which I won't go into. Anyway, Iowa State did quite a bit of work on that. We did have some grafts. We were able to get a couple of trees to go from that, and now 45 years beyond that point, those trees are gone as well, but there was never a tree from those grafts that produced anything that was even close to that tree. So today, we don't know what that tree was about. Uncle Johnny would have if they'd asked him, but of course, you know, we don't ask when we should be asking. And understanding. But we need to know today about horticulture in God's stump and trees. So it's another one of those phone calls from God. It could be. But it was never anywhere equal or close. So I'm going to go back to my notes here of introduction. So what does this have to do with Christians and our situation? And how do we have anything to do with trees? Maybe someone wondered that this morning. Well, the answer is we have a lot to do with trees, and I'm going to give you a little history, but if you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to read briefly from Jeremiah and refer to it, but you know, and you can turn there, but the core of our message today will be found in Romans chapter 10, and more specifically in chapter 11. So you can get prepared for that on your device or in your paper Bible. But anyway, we're not going to talk today about apple trees, we're going to talk about olive trees today. How many of you like olives? I really do too. I like to have. I keep some out here in the refrigerator most of the time to eat at lunch. I really like olives. Not so much the black one, but the green ones. I could get foundered on those. They're good. I enjoy, you know, with the little pimentos and so forth in them. But in the Bible, God has compared his people Israel to an olive tree and to a fruit-bearing olive tree and a flourishing tree. By the way, if you've ever seen an olive tree, they're beautiful trees. Trees do have great beauty. Some of you may be able, you know, if we haven't been over into the Middle East and seen one of the olive trees there, they're beautiful trees, and they are very precise and exquisite fruit. Here we might associate some of that with what we know as a Russian olive tree here in the Northern Hemisphere. Russian olive trees are very beautiful, in case you never have been around one of those. But God compared his people to an olive tree, and it was one of the seven important plants in Israel. And you know what, folks? Currently, it's the state of Israel's symbol. Did you know that? Interestingly, though, I won't give all of these to you, but there were seven important plants that were found in Israel. Isn't that unusual? God's number is seven, and he gives his nation seven important plants. But anyway, they symbolized at least these things: holiness, beauty, freshness, and peace. And that's what God wanted for Israel from the very get-go. Now, last week I mentioned that God hates divorce. By the way, that's found in Malachi 2:16, if you ever want to look at that. But I wanted to set us an accurate picture of what happened with God and Israel. Now, many of us have been involved in relationships of various kinds, husband and wife, other types of relationships. But in case you didn't know it, between Malachi and Matthew, which is called the intertestamental period, God did not speak to Israel for 400 years. The Bible pictures Israel as God's wife, God the Father's wife. But folks, God does not like to see relationships ran asunder. He likes to see them maintained. And what has happened in the ensuing years is that God and Israel are separated. By the way, if you were to ever come to me for marriage counseling, I am not opposed to separation. But because I believe there is a place for that while people sort things out. But one of the things that's important about that is that the goal is never to see separation continue to a breaking up of the sides. The goal is always what? Restoration, to get it straight. Repentance and restoration, R&R, that we get the problem solved. So the status of Israel today as the wife of God is that his wife was unfaithful. I won't have you turn there today, but Jeremiah 31:31-32 says that God is the husband of Israel, and that's just one place it says that. But also in Ezekiel 16 and the whole chapter, but in particular 8 through 16 of Ezekiel 16, Israel is portrayed as an unfaithful wife. They cheated on their God, and that's how that is portrayed. You know, in the book of Hosea, we have a wife of Hosea whose name was Gomer, not Gomer Pyle. But Gomer, and she again was a picture. God showed the prophet Hosea what it was like to have an unfaithful spouse. And you know what? Hosea continued to work with his spouse, and God is still working with Israel. And it's going to be restored. Hallelujah! I'm excited about that today. The nation of Israel will one day in the future, probably not far from now, be restored as God's wife. Now let me just explain this so we know this morning. But God did not leave them. As I said, they are separated. Israel separated herself from God, and God did from her as well, temporarily. And so now they are separated, but they will be reunited, and that will take place in the tribulation, and to a further extent as they are regathered under Jesus on the throne in the millennium. Now, what has happened to Israel, the olive tree, after she was separated from God? Well, the Bible says this, and let me just say this before I forget. If you study Romans 9, 10, and 11, that's just one place where Paul wrote to the church at Rome. He taught in those chapters consecutively about Israel's past, present, and future. So in other words, 9 is Israel's past, 10 is Israel's present, and 11 is what's coming in the future for the nation of Israel. But today, folks, and we'll see this in our text, she currently exists as a stump. Now, let me ask you today about stumps. Do all of you like stumps? Well, the answer to that is no. When I had the dozers and excavating business and the track hoes and everything else, many times people call us out to remove trees and stumps. Now, you will know this if you come to my yard. We cut down a massive tree a massive tree about probably 8 or 9 years ago, and the stump of that tree is still in the yard. You know why? Because I hate the mess of tearing a stump out of the ground or even cutting it off. And I say, why beat your head against a stone wall? The Lord will take care of that stump. Because what has happened to that stump now? Kim has been telling me for a year, John, it's rotten. I can go up almost and wiggle it. It can all be taken away. No fuss, no muss. No broken excavators, no torn up yard, and all the rest of it. God handled it, but stumps. But let me tell you something, folks. Israel has been a stump for many years. The stump is not totally gone because there's going to be a resurrection of that stump. And let me tell you something else, folks. We, as God's people, His bride, Jesus' bride specifically, in the day that we live as the church, we have been grafted into that stump as the wild olive branch. Just like that tree that we had down home. The church is not Israel. By the way, there's a lot of confusion about that today, about where the standing of the church and Israel are. They are not the same thing, folks. They're separate and they're distinct. And God has a program for both. The church is the bride of Christ. Israel is the wife of God. Distinct, yet we will dwell together as God's people for eternity. And let me just tell you how I think the Bible handles that. God and His people Israel, the redeemed of Israel, as He is back here on the throne at the end of the tribulation period after the Battle of Armageddon, Israel will exist here as the saved people that come to Him during that period. By the way, today, people that are Jews that are saved become Christians. They're going to be with us in heaven. They're grafted in through Jesus too. And it'll always be through Jesus. But that's how that'll exist. And with the church, I believe the church is transitory. We'll be here on earth some in the millennial period, but also in heaven. But you know what? In the kingdom to come, in the new heavens and new earth, we'll be united as God's people. Isn't that going to be a special time? Maybe some of you have never thought about that or wondered about it. By the way, the Bible's got so much in it, you can never get done with all the things that are found in God's Scripture. But you know what? The unproductive fruit will begin bearing fruit again for God. So you know what we need to do? We need to learn about this today and be excited. And I ask us this morning, are you bearing fruit for Jesus Christ today as His bride? That's the true test of our walk with Him. And I can always say this, I'm not bearing enough, but that's for you to discern with Jesus. But anyway, let's go to our text this morning, and let's just look real quickly at Romans 10, 1 through 3. I know I told you we'd go to Ezekiel and to Jeremiah, but we're going to skip that day because time is really moving. And you know, it could be we'll have to come back another time for this, all right? But you know what? If it is, it is. And we'll deal with that the best we can. Romans 10, now this morning, 1 through 3, and verse 21. I just want to point this out to us this morning. Romans 10, verses 1 through 3, again, to know where we positionally are standing here with the nation of Israel and so forth. And here's Paul. By the way, who is Paul? Paul is an Israelite's Israelite, studied at the feet of Gamaliel, the master teacher. Paul was a zealous Jew. And remember, folks, don't ever forget, he killed Christians. He hated Christians. But you know what? He was struck down on the road to Damascus and he saw the light. Kind of like me hitting the sign there in the yard. Sometimes we need to be struck down on the road to Damascus to see the light. And I don't believe anything. I don't believe in accidents, folks. No, God has all these things in our path. But anyway, let's see what happened. Paul loved the Jews. By the way, did the Jews love Paul? No. He was the ultimate Jew, but he ended up being what? The one that was called to the non-Jews, the Gentiles. The Jews couldn't put up with him. Brethren, he says here, chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, is that they may be saved. I just want to make this clear, too, this morning. People have a hard time with that word saved. You Bible-believing, what's all this say? The word saved, you could insert in your scriptures there, the word rescued. You know, we all have been needful of being rescued, haven't we, at one time or another? I told the story in school this last week of the year, and some of you have heard this, and if you've all heard it, then shut me off and I'll move on. Time I got stuck in the one pasture. been 15, maybe close to 20 years ago. Had the 806 on a moor. It was a swampy pasture. Got down there, got stuck. I'm a mile and a half away from home and another half mile into the field. And so here I am walking for home and going up Highway 38. And I'm walking along. You know, I had a lot of mud on me and so forth. Some of you have seen me recently in old clothes. And the cars, vroom, vroom, right on by. So I got up within about 100 feet of the road where we live. Walked all that way home. Finally, someone stopped. And I even knew some of the people. Why do you suppose they didn't stop? Well, I've thought about that quite a bit. Probably some said, he's just out for a walk. And that probably because, you know, crazy John. Others might have said, well, he's out there for a reason. He has some kind of, you know. And some of them might have thought, what? I don't want to get him in my car covered in mud and everything. Anyway, the car stopped and I said, oh, it's all right. I'm almost home now anyway. But thank you for stopping. But anyway, Paul loved the Israelites. He wanted them to be rescued. He still wants, well, I know he does in heaven yet, but God wants Israel saved. He wants every one of us saved because we need to be rescued. I'm sorry, I'm gesticulating so much. By the way, that is not a bad word. Gesticulating means moving my hands. Just thought I'd clarify that. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. See, Israel got several hits to the head to get them thinking straight, but they were hard-headed. You know anyone that's hard-headed? I'm a good example. They had a zeal for God. They liked to identify with God, but they were totally wrong because they didn't know Him. They didn't know His Word. By the way, we need to be more zealous for God, but in the right ways. Okay? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Paul says they got it. They're not thinking straight because they what? You can't think straight unless you know straight. And Israel was out of a personal walk with God. They missed everything God told them in the Old Testament. And they got themselves into trouble. Now over to verse 21, and then we'll get into the heart of this morning. Verse 21 says, and you can read Paul's letter there. By the way, that's to Israel's present situation. Since Christ was on the cross, died, rose again, up until this very day. Nationally, Israel is under this situation. They were regathered in 1948 as a nation with boundaries, but they are not regathered to their God. Nationally, they are only gathered individually, just like we are. Paul says in verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. In the King James it says gainsaying. It just means, in our vernacular, to a contrary people. They're not going to do it with me. And yet, remember how Jesus died on the cross. His hands were stretched out. And he still says today, come unto me. If you're laboring and under heavy duress, I'll give you rest. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what God yet offers to all people today, including Israel. Okay, so that's where we're at. Now over to chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 2 and then 5 through 10 this morning. Romans chapter 11, beginning with 1 through 2. Paul goes on to write now. He's talking about the future. He says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? I like it when Paul answered these questions because, you know, it's kind of hard, isn't it, when someone asks you a question but doesn't help you with the answer? Because what do you think when you have a situation like that, when someone corners you, you think, what if I'm wrong? By the way, if you're wrong on an answer, no one should whip you over that, but you'll never forget that next time you need to be right. And we don't learn unless we do answer questions and learn from those questions and investigate the answers. But Paul answers this question there. He says, may it never be. God forbid. God doesn't want that. He hasn't thrown his people away. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, again, we're not going to get this done today, so I'm going to just preach it like it is. Is everyone okay with that? Okay. By the way, you are not an Israelite because you're connected to Abraham by blood. You are an Israelite because you are connected to God through Abraham by faith. Faith. And that is how we're connected to the Lord Jesus. It's through believing in Him, by trusting Him totally, and His message to us. And Paul is laying this out plainly to Israel. He says, until you come to the God of the Bible through His Son Jesus Christ by faith, you might be what you call a Jew or a descendant genetically of these people, of those tribes, but you are not in fellowship with me. Verse 2, God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Wot ye not that what Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Remember that with Elijah? God wrought a great miracle on Mount Carmel. God showed His power and His effectiveness there at the behest of Elijah. Elijah stood for God. And yet, what did Israel do consistently throughout all time? They rejected God's truth, and they even killed the people that brought the truth to them. You ever heard that old tale, don't bite the hand? How often do we do that, folks? As I've analyzed that in my life over the years, much of the time we have an axe to grind against the one or the ones that help us the most. You ever notice that? Unbelievable. Now we're to 5 through 10. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. That is the age we're in. Paul says in the age of grace, in the church age, there will be a few of Israel that will be genuinely rescued or saved. Hallelujah, amen. By the way, should we love the Israelites? Yes, but we should love all people. But we should certainly do right by the genetic tie to that nation, because God is not done with them yet. And the main reason we're going to get to this at some point is that we don't have any reason to really be high-minded about our position in Christ. We can be excited about it, we can be thankful about it, and exuberant about it, but understand Israel's who God really loved to begin with. We're only grafted in. Yep, we're a sprout that isn't exactly like Israel, just like the apple tree down at the folks. Anyway, verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. By the way, folks, we are saved through God's grace. There is nothing you can do to work your way to heaven. But I will say this. Once we are saved, we need to show forth good works. You're not saved by works, but your faith is shown through works. Okay? How far was I going? Through 5 or 10, correct? What then, Paul says, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. That's the other description that you would give to people today, and nominally, Paul's talking about Israel here. He says, until their eyes are opened, they're blinded. It's no different with the non-Jew. If you have been blinded from God's grace by your own doing or by Satan's intervention in your life, understand today Jesus is the light of the world, and He'll give you sight on your road to Damascus, just like He did Paul. Just like He did Paul. Amen. And David's, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Now, if you want to question God, by the way, you have a right to question God, but when you get your theology straight, you'll understand you have no right to question God. He's the potter, we're the clay. You don't tell the potter how to design the pot, he designs the pot. Now, I had something profound I was going to say here. Oh, So what do you think about that? God gave them slumber. We shouldn't be thankful for that today necessarily, but because God allowed them to sleep, the door was open for the non-Jew. That's us. And by the way, that's another reason we ought to love Israel very dearly and the Jewish people, because, again, they chose this, but understand God allowed that to take place. He allowed them to be blinded that we might be brought in as the wild olive branch into the stump. Verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare. By the way, he's not talking about the table like we're going to sit around here in a few minutes. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about the tables of the Braille. Well, in a way, you're right on that. The law. Israel loves the law. They're trying to get to God through the law. But the object of the law that they should have found is, we can't keep it. And David told him, he says, let their table of the laws be a snare, be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eye, because by the way, folks, even the Old Testament tables of the law tell us we need freedom in Jesus Christ. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. God says, Israel, you don't want to see? You can go ahead and be blind. I'll let you. I've said this many times from the pulpit. I know it in my life. God will give you what you want. He's a good God. You don't want anything to do with him? He'll say, it's fine. I still love you, but I'll let you go because I love you that much. By the way, here this morning, don't be in that position. Come to the Lord. Be rescued. Whether you're saved here or not saved, even if you're saved, if there's a struggle in things, come back to the Lord. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want you going down that path. He wants us in fellowship with him. Well, it's all by grace. They went to sleep on God. It wasn't his will, but he allowed it. Now, we're down to 3 minutes. So, I'm going to talk just a minute here, beginning in verse 11. We're going to read, and we'll stop when we are out of time, and we'll come back, and I'll give you a conclusion, though, today. I wish we could have got through all this, but the main thing here is don't ever get cocky because of what God has done for us. It's all by his grace, and we have, and grace is defined as that undeserved what? That's right. Verse 11, Romans 11. I say then, Paul says, have they stumbled that they should fall? No, God didn't want that. God forbid. But rather through their fall, and we're going to stop with this today, get this here, class, very, very much. Through their fall, read it to me. Salvation or rescue has come to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And why did God do it? And you're going to say, why is he... why is he like that? He's supposed to be a fair God. By the way, the Bible never says God is fair. He is just and he is righteous. And as I said earlier, he has every right to do whatever he wants. It's his thing. But did you notice here why God brought the grafted in branch in? Not because we're something, we are special to God, but not because we're something special. He brought us in for one purpose only in the end. Do you see it there? Read it to me, the last part of that verse. To provoke them to jealousy. God says, you don't want me? There are people that will want me. And you're going to see what you've missed. And folks, you can say whatever you want about Israel, but Israel has had retribution on them for almost 2,000 years during the church age, the age of grace, and for many years prior to that. Because they would not what? They would not see what God had for them. He says, look what I... that's why we're special, folks. What we have with the Lord today is so special. So special that we can go to him directly. That we can have fellowship with him. You know, that we can have this thing on this side of eternity. And then, you know, it's like the ice cream sundae. We've got the ice cream. Personally, I like vanilla. I doubt we'll have any out here today on a cold day like this. But you know what's even better? Is the hot fudge and a cherry. And that is what God has offered us. Now, I got to quit talking. We're out of time. But let me hit the conclusion. We'll hit it again next week. Do you get so far what we're talking about here? We'll get into the rest of the tree horticulture next week. But born-again believers in the church age are the grafted-in branch of the wild olive tree. Doesn't that kind of fit all of us, too? We're kind of wild. And we're grafted into the stump of the olive tree that is Israel, that will be resurrected and will flourish again. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Be careful and be thankful. Are you personally a part of this grafted in branch? I'm asking you. By the way, I'm not like some of these preachers and pastors. I'm not going to grill you about things today. You've heard it. The Spirit will work in your life. But I'm asking, are you grafted in? Are you a part of God's redeemed people today called the church? Are you personally a part of it? If not, do you want to be? Well, we'll see the rest of the story next week. But understand this, Jesus wants you to be grafted in. Maybe next week. Today. Today is the day of salvation if you have not been rescued. And I ask you today, point blank, if your life and my life were to end today, where would my soul be? Because there's only two choices, folks. Our soul will either be in the presence of Jesus Christ, or our soul will be in a place of torments, not full-blown hell, but in a place called Hades, awaiting resurrection to eternal damnation in the lake of fire. I'm telling it the way it is. Would we be in the presence of Jesus, or like lost Israel, separated from Jesus by choice, headed for hell's destruction? By the way, when we talk about separation, Luke 16 says there is a great gulf affixed that no man can transverse. If you're in hell or in heaven, you're not going to go to either place. But the Bible records in that, and I don't believe it's all a parable. I think it's what Jesus spoke, that it's fact, that people in hell will look out and they'll see where they could have been. Anyway, my invitation to all of us today is to come and to be grafted in. Let Jesus work his miracle in you as God is working his miracle in a stump that is left for dead called Israel as the grafted in wild branch. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 784. Do you believe in miracles today? Let me tell you something. The biggest miracle that ever came was the miracle when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and that he can transmit that to you and I in new life. That is a miracle. It's supernatural, folks. Totally from him. Do you believe in miracles today? By the way, I'm not going to grill anyone today, but understand. By the way, I'm up here every week. Why? Because I need to be. Maybe some of you do too. To publicly establish or reestablish a relationship with Jesus. Because he can work miracles, not only in salvation, but he can work miracles of our heart. And he'll do it today. Let's sing today. You come if there's a need. You mention to me at the door. You're all invited either through this door or this. As I often say, if you need exercise, that door. If you don't, this one. Come and join us for food. I shows the power of God. There's glory all around. And those who see must stand in awe, for miracles abound.